Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Going to the Senate, big news there. You know, there are two major bills pending and stalled in the U.S. Senate. One of them, of course, is the Build Back Better bill, about $1.75 trillion, the so-called soft infrastructure. The hard infrastructure got passed a while ago. That hard infrastructure was the amount, about $1.5 billion, to repair our roads, bridges, water systems, airports, put in some broadband, and that fortunately passed. This one is being held up by Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema, who is hiding in the weeds. Right now, we don't have 50 votes for it. We have 48 votes for it. And Bernie Sanders and some progressives are pushing to have a vote on it and force Manchin to get up on his hind legs in front of everybody in public and vote against expanded Medicare, vote against parental leave, vote against universal pre-K. But there's another one. There's another bill, in my view, is even more important. And that is H.R. 1 and S.B. 1, voting rights. And why do I say that? Right now, we have dozens of state legislatures either proposing or passing the most restrictive anti-voting legislation in the history of this country. Up until now, we have tried to make it easier to vote, consistent with audits, with protocols, with security. But, for instance, early voting, where you can go down in person and vote for a period of time, maybe a week, 2 weeks beforehand, depending on the state. Absentee voting by mail, you request a ballot, you get it. You fill it out, you sign it, it's notarized, somebody is watching, and then you watch them. Usually spouses do it for one another as witnesses. In some cases, you have to have it notarized. In some states, you don't. It's just a witness mailed in. Increasingly, especially during COVID, especially during the Louis DeJoy period, unfortunately, which continues in the post office, where he destroyed 700 mail sorting machines that each sorted something like 50,000 pieces an hour. And he destroyed them in a lot of the big cities so that Democratic votes wouldn't get there on time. And the clown looks like he came right out of a James Bond movie as Ernst Stavro Blofeld. The guy sitting there with his eyes twitching, petting a kitten as he kills people. That's Ernst Stavro Blofeld. Louis DeJoy has not killed anybody, but Louis DeJoy is helping to kill democracy by doing this kind of stuff. Anyway, it had been the case that you could mail it in. There were deadlines, blah, blah, blah. Now the Republicans, gerrymandered, illegitimate, crooked Republican legislatures around the country, are doing everything they can to make it difficult to vote. That's why I say that SB 1 and HR 1 together, HR 1 is the House resolution, SB is Senate bill. And the reason it says 1 is exactly that, because it's the most important and it was introduced right away. That standardizes federal elections, takes it away from crooked state interference. For instance, there will be uniform absentee ballot procedures around the country in congressional and presidential elections. Those are federal elections. The federal government has something to say about that. Presidential elections will control who the electors are, not the hacks from the various gerrymandered state legislatures who, including in Wisconsin, the minute they get a Republican governor, if they ever do, which I hope they don't, say they get in Rebecca Clayfish, the Duchess of Foxconn, the cheerleader, the pom-pom girl for Walker, who kept jumping up and down and said, why don't you give $4 billion to a Chinese company that has sat on that property and done nothing in about $1 billion in debt, Mount Pleasant and Racine, for preparing the site. Mount Pleasant and Racine don't have the capacity to come close to repaying that. And that's why you're repaying that. And I'm going to repay that. I mean, state taxpayers and the pom-pom girls now running the Duchess of Foxconn for governor. If the Duchess of Foxconn ever gets in, what's going to happen is there'll be a bill passed that says the presidential election is advisory. It's only advisory. The legislature will give it, quote, due consideration, end quote, chuckle, chuckle, chuckle. And then they will send off any 10 electors they want, and that will be Republicans. And they're gerrymandered again till the year 2030 because a Republican majority, 4-3, said we want to keep the gerrymander districts in effect for 10 more years. And most of you are out there and don't pay any attention to this and yawn. Well, this is our democracy that's under attack in real time. So what is Schumer going to do? One of the best things in this bill would be it would get rid of, in redistricting, require fair maps commissions. Now, on its face, it requires them for congressional districts. And by the way, you can't gerrymander a Senate district, a Senate seat. Why? Because it's statewide. You can't gerrymander the whole state in one election. It's the state. That's up to the people in the state. But you can certainly gerrymander congressional districts. We have 8 congressional districts in Wisconsin. When I started in politics, we had 10. Then we went to 9. Now we're at 8. Lucky to hold on to 8, given population disparities among the states. And right now we have 3 Democrats and 5 Republicans because of gerrymandering, corrupt partisan gerrymandering, even though the votes between the two parties are about the same. It should be 4-4. And right now, Ron Kind's seat is up. Ron, great, great congressman, friend of mine, is stepping down. And there are some very good people running against him, including Brad Paff, state senator, used to be on his staff, and then some other very fine candidates. One of them will surface, but the Republicans are gerrymandering that seat. We could end up 6-2 Republican-Democratic in this state, even though 50-50 or better in the Democratic favor on the vote. So, very simple. The Democratic Party has said, let's just have fair maps commissions. And by the way, if fair maps commissions go in at the congressional level, there's a lot of pressure then to put them in at the state level. And you won't have clowns like Voss as the speaker anymore. If you have fair maps, and quite frankly, there's some people in the Democratic Party who would never win in competitive districts. And there, most of the Republicans wouldn't win in competitive districts. You'd have a higher talent pool of people in our legislature in both parties. Well, so what's going to happen to it? Schumer, the majority leader, just announced that he is going to bring H.R. 1 SB 1, the voting rights legislation, to a vote. And the way he's going to do it is by January 17, that's Martin Luther King Day. Symbolically, I think an important day to note in this context. He is going to bring a proposal to the floor to change the rules of the Senate to eliminate the filibuster for this bill. It's long overdue. Absolutely the right thing to do. Manchin and Sinema have both said that they are uncomfortable with that. They won't vote for that. Let me ask Manchin and Sinema this question. We are trying to correct a partisan attack on our democracy, but you are demanding that there be a bipartisan vote to stop that. They want 10 Republicans, the filibuster, to stop it. Why would you ask 10 Republicans from a party who, with nothing but Republican votes, corrupted our legislatures by gerrymandering? Why do you insist on bipartisanship to cure partisanship? It's absolutely absurd. And all it is a front, because Manchin gets a lot of money from the energy industry and oil companies, and Sinema does from pharmaceutical companies. And they are dancing to the tune. They are dancing to the tune of their donors. Their donors bring out the violin, the fiddle, and they start going through a dance. That's all that's happening here. Now, so why is Schumer doing this? Why is Schumer going into this? And the expectation is he'll only get 48 votes. Whereas he needs 50 so that Kamala Harris can come in and break the tie. There's a couple of reasons he's doing it. One of them is personal. And one of them is shrewdly tactical, and I agree with his doing it on both reasons. One of them is Schumer's getting a lot of heat from people in our party saying, look, do something. Do something. Don't just be sitting around rubbing your hands going, oh, woe is me. Manchin and Sinema are sticking the knife in this thing. Do it. Bring it to the floor. See if they actually do vote against it. Voting rights polls very high in West Virginia and in Arizona, over 60% in both states. If Manchin and Sinema simply got up and say, I think it's the right time. We're not going to insist on bipartisanship in a party that has used partisanship to gerrymander in the first place. That's just plain crazy. That's just plain crazy. It's illogical. So here's what we're going to do. And we're just going to do it for this bill. I think that they would have better chances of being reelected if they did something like that. But the fallout from this is it looks like the Build Back Better bill, soft infrastructure, $1.75 trillion, the so-called expanding Medicare, universal pre-K, child tax credit, all of that, looks like that's going to be delayed till at least March and maybe beyond. It's got to be done in this term because in 2022 elections in November, if we lose the Senate and the House or either one, Biden's agenda is going to go down the drain. Moscow Mitch and Kevin McCarthy are doing their best, quite frankly, to destroy the country and basically hurting the country simply to make Biden look bad so they can put in a president to continue to do it in 2024. That's what's going on. And insiders in the Senate have said that Build Back Better does come up after January, it won't be recognizable. It won't be anywhere in the form it is now, trying to get Manchin and Sinema to go along. And Manchin and Sinema are saying, and this is budget reconciliation, only requires 50 votes, but they won't vote for it. And they keep saying they're doing a striptease. Oh, if you do this, I'll take that. Baloney, you can take everything off and they'll laugh at you and walk out of the room. That's what's going on. Schumer's doing exactly the right thing, bringing SB1, HR1 to the floor by through the overturning the filibuster procedural vote by January 17. And we'll stand by and see what happens. We're going to a break. The lines are still open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.